He's been taken out of the hearts and lives of people who have known him and served him at one time, and now they have bought into this world. It is sad to see the dilemma in the lives of people that at one time served and now does nothing. It will be so good when this pandemic gets over, or this scare, whatever it is, gets over. I love being in church with God's people. I love preaching and teaching the Word of God. So this morning we're going to look at something out of the book of Acts, chapter 16, a very familiar story, but we're going to look at it in a sort of different way, not too much different. So let's stand, honor God by reading His Word. Hope you have your Bibles in your hand. I tell you what, men will lie to you, but the Word of God will not. Amen? So that's why I want you to look at that Word. When we're talking about the Bible, we need to look at the Bible and make sure that we are seeing what is being said. The Bible says at verse number 25 of chapter 16, very familiar story. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Aren't you glad that there was in their life enough of the belief of God that they didn't want to keep silent? Too often, church people stay silent when it comes to sharing the gospel. And so it's good to see what happens when we're obedient to God and we worship Him in the good times and the bad. Yeah, we can worship Him when things are going well and the church is packed with people. We can worship Him too when people are afraid to come together. We can worship Him wherever we're at. So here are these guys, they're in prison because of the gospel. At midnight, they were still singing. Can you believe that? I tell you, when the hour goes by with most Baptists, we're ready to get out, ain't we? But, you know, they were just there at midnight. They were singing. They had nothing else to do but to be in communion with God. Said, and suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. What a happening. Now, I tell you what, when I've been in church service when I thought he was coming back. Looked like it was getting foggy in there. You know what I mean? I thought he was coming back because it got so good in there. But let me tell you, when it gets good enough that it shakes the floors and the bonds fall off of us, then we can worship God. Amen? That's when we can really worship Him. And it says, the keeper of the prison awakes out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. And Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house, and join and serve at Victory Baptist Church. No, that ain't what it says, does it? All it says is believe. Believe. Oh, if we could only believe. There's no works involved in this. All we have to do is believe. That sounds simple, but I'm telling you, it is a difficult thing in the day we live in to believe in God. It is a hard thing to do because we are focused more on ourselves and our situations of life than we are on the glory of God. So the question is, am I believing in God? Am I believing in God? Father, we love you. We're so thankful for this day. For the precious Word of God that you have so allowed us to have. Thank you, Lord, for guarding that for us. I know your Word is forever settled in heaven. So, Lord, we don't have to look for some prophet to tell us something. We don't have to look for new preachers to have new ideas, and because, Lord, your word is settled. It will never change. We can depend on it. So, Lord, as we look at it today, I pray you to open our eyes that we might see the glory of who you are, that we might understand our position that we have in Christ Jesus and the freedom we have, Lord, to come in your house that's been dedicated to you, prayed over, and promised to meet you here. Lord, I pray that your will be done. I pray if there's one here today that's lost and undone, I pray they'd be saved. And Lord, I pray this morning that you'd, in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that you'd anoint me today from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I pray everything that I think would be come from you. I pray you'd guard me, that I wouldn't say anything that would be wrong to say. But then I pray, Lord, you'd give me the Holy Ghost boldness to speak truth without a shame, that you might be glorified. So, Lord, do your work here today and in the folks that are home and those that are listening today, Lord, by Facebook. I pray that you would bless them, strengthen them, draw them together with us as we worship you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. What does it really mean to believe in God? Sometimes I think we look at that word believe and we think it's a fleeting moment. I believe it's a position in life where we get to. We get to a place where we don't just believe now, we believe all the time. Now, I'm not saying we'll be perfect all the time, because most of the time we will not be. The truth of the matter is this. My faith, believing in Jesus Christ, believing that God has authority over my life and authority over this world, when I get to that place in life, I can tell you what, I believe that we can see him and that we can serve him more intently, I believe. We can't serve somebody we don't know. We can't be friends with someone who we don't know. We can't be intimate with someone who we do not know. But I believe in the day we live in, and we can honestly, just like Paul and Silas did here in the prison, as they begin to pray, and God began to move. God was just demonstrating this power to some people that needed to see that God was real. And so as they begin to pray, they begin to sing, they got caught up in the motion, and all the prisoners, the Bible said, was listening. They heard them. Let me tell you something. When we begin to get excited about God, somebody will listen. It's because we're not very intent with him. It's why most people pass by the church. If we could really see the fire of God in our lives and in our hearts, and that we were really led by the Spirit of God, and faith was overriding everything else, that doubts and fears that come in our life, I'm telling you, when we believe in God, something happens in our life. And so we need to understand what that means. What does it mean to believe in him? And understand that the thing about the Bible does not try to convince you that there is a God. You can search the Bible. It don't try to draw pictures of who he is so you'll believe. What it does, it proclaims that he does exist. And then it tells us the story of how he has been involved in man ever since he created him. I love this part about creation. The Bible said, he said, let there be light, and there was light. Everything that there was, he created by his word, except one thing, and that was man. And there he got involved in forming that man out of the dust of the ground. With God's hand, he formed man, and he breathed into the nostrils of man. He didn't do that with the animals. He did it with man. And he did that so that we might bear the image of God in this world that we live in. We are supposed to reflect who God is in this world and who he is in our lives. But too often we don't do that because we are off-kiltered on what we really are supposed to do. But we need to boldly stand, especially in the day we live in, because the enemy is active. I don't know if you realize that or not, but the enemy is after your freedom to worship God. He's been after that ever since the Garden of Eden. He has not give up, nor will he give up until God cast him into the lake of fire. Then, let me tell you, we won't be bothered with that rascal anymore. We won't need the jails to be shook, the foundations to roll, and the doors to be open. Why? Because he's going to be done away with. And you are not that believe. Those that believe. Let me ask you, do we have a relationship with God? Do we really believe in the very depths of our being? When everybody else is against us, when everybody else is despising God, when everybody else is calling us foolish, when it seems like high-profile Christians are falling to sin, you know why that is? Because there's an enemy in hot pursuit. And we need to understand that. So do we really believe in God? Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now that word there in itself, the word is the substance. It is the substance as well. That's what it means. It means it's something that you can build another thing on. It will actually hold that which is built upon it, a foundation, if you would. And we have that foundation. The Bible says that we have a foundation, but that foundation is Christ. So we can build our lives on him and understand that the Word of God will strengthen us when we do. Now, the Bible says here, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So there's some prerequisites, if you would. To believe in God, to serve God, to be a part of God's family. There's some things that we have to do. And the Bible says here that those things are that we must believe that he is. We cannot serve somebody that we don't believe is. So the Bible says, first of all, we must believe that he is. And the second thing, we must understand that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's the issue. Do we diligently seek him, or are we going about our lives flowing through? See, we have a responsibility. If I'm believing in him, we have a responsibility. And that is to be in fellowship with him. We are to walk in the light as he is light. When we do that, let me tell you, when we're walking in the light as he is in the light, let me tell you what we don't do. We are not sinning when we do that. It's when we step outside that light, which we like running in and out of lights, apparently, because we want to draw back in some of that darkness. But we need to understand that we, when we walk in the light, we're walking in him. Therefore, there is no sin. But it is hard to get there. Why? It's faith. It's believing. It's understanding who he is if we're going to be successful in our Christian life. What does it all mean? Listen to me. The Bible says no other foundation can relate except Jesus Christ. And then listen to what it says. For those who believe, the Bible says faith comes and brings salvation. When we believe that Jesus Christ, that God is the author and finisher of faith. When we believe that God has sent his darling son into this world to die for our sins, when we believe that, when we believe that he died and rose from the dead, when we believe that, the Bible tells us that faith comes. That is the avenue whereby faith comes. Faith comes because of grace. It is a gift of God. Faith don't come because we work it up or work it down. It comes up because God gives it to us. The Bible says every man has been given a measure of faith. Every man. So therefore, if we have a measure of faith, there's some things that we must understand. Faith should bring belief. For those who believe in Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should have life. Should have life. So since there is belief and there's unbelief, there's hearts that are serving Him, there's hearts that are away from Him, there is one thing that determines our destiny. And that is whether we believe or not. Whether we believe. Now what is some of this believing that we're talking about? In the Old Testament, let's look at some of those things. In the Old Testament, the concept of believing is revealed in the Hebrew word amen. And that just simply means confirm. Now we say it like this. The preacher says something and somebody says amen. You know what it means? That means I confirm that. We can build on that one. That's what it means. And that's in the Old Testament. That's the word that we look at when we talk about faith. The word actually means to support and to uphold. So if we're going to say amen like they did in the Old Testament, we need to understand that brings some responsibility. I mean, it meant something in that day, and it means something in this day. You know why? Because the Bible has been settled forever in heaven. Before the foundation of the world, God knew what would be written. So we had the Word of God, and that Word, it says, expresses an unalterable fact. You can't change it. That God's Word, God's Himself is able to sustain us. Amen is to make it sure and certain that we are in agreement. So in the Old Testament, that's what they've done. Moses, listen, Moses had a job, didn't he? They say they were Israelites. I believe they were Baptistites. Because everything he done that God directly led him to do and talked to him as a friend, led him through the desert, led him through the sea, them rascals were always complaining. But listen to what the Bible says about them. For 420 years, they were in bondage. God sends this old murderer from the backside of the desert that was over there hiding from Pharaoh, afraid he was going to be killed for the murder he committed. God calls that man. Now, listen. We don't have to have a clean record for God to call us. All we have to do is call us. And all he does is call us, and he qualifies us. You don't have to have one single qualification, because God will qualify you. All you have to do is believe. So in the Old Testament, it was just, we trusted him that he could take care of us, that we could depend on him, that his word was certain and true. And here he sends this murderer to take his people and lead them out of bondage. And when they get to that massive sea, I'm sure the people thought, you ever been in a place where you thought you were defeated and God opened up a door? I mean, really. We were sharing some things with some folks that we've not shared with anyone about God doing some marvelous miracles in our family. Unbelievable things. Unbelievable things that only God could have done. So we shared some of that. I was keeping it quiet. One that started sharing, I said, well, let me share that then. Let me tell them what God can do. See, because if we really believe, we can believe God can do anything. And we will depend on Him to do whatever is needed, whatever is necessary for us to be able to glorify Him and to serve Him. But He gets to the Red Sea. And there He is. What do we do? Well, God moves. And they go across. Now listen, He not only parted the waters back, but He dried the ground up that was under the water too, because they went across on dry land. The dust was probably coming up in the nostrils of Pharaoh's men when they hit the banks there because of God's people going across. And here comes Egypt after them. Whew. All their mighty men, all their chariots, all the warriors, and all of a sudden, God closes it up on them. And the Bible says, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord had done upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant. See, when we see God do some mighty things, then we can believe. When God intervenes in our life, when He opens up our eyes that we can see Him, then we will respond just like they did in the Old Testament. We will see the mighty hand of God, and we will believe. And when we believe, we will have the willpower to move forward. Now, we might do like they did and run into a few little things. The miracle itself made them believe at that moment, but it was a relationship with God that built that long-lasting fellowship. See, we could get saved today. We could literally get saved because God's called us. And we can go right back out there and do what we want to do. We can keep the same friends. We can go to the same areas. And what does it do? It messes our life completely up. Messes it up. But listen, when we are born of God, that marvelous work is done at that moment. That inner man is made alive unto God. And living within us is the Spirit of God, who, if we will not only believe, if we will seek Him, our lives can change completely. And that's what we need. For real belief in Him, we have to understand that He has done some work in us. And listen, if you were like me, when it happened to me, I knew it. I knew, so I was there when it happened. It weren't passed down to me from somebody else. I was there. And I know what it's like to be, accosted by God in a moment. I understand that. But now, listen, I've had some issues in my life as well. I've not been perfect, not even this week. I stay outside the perfect image of God. I just can't reach that mark. I miss it every time. But thank God somebody has bridged that for me. His name is Jesus Christ. And He's bridged that place where I fall short of. And God has confirmed with me by His Spirit that the work is complete. That excites me. That makes me think, here I am, I can sing in prison. I can do whatever it is, no matter what the circumstances is. If I will just walk with Him, if I will just believe, if I will just fellowship with Him, nothing is impossible for me to do. But most church people are not like that. Most church people are not like that at all. But we need to understand some examples that really makes a difference in our life. And Moses certainly was one of those men. Isaiah 43:10 says this. Says that Israel's responsibility to God's witness so the world might believe in one true God. That's our responsibility. God gave that responsibility to Israel, that Israel will be the one who told the world of Him. We have that responsibility. Don't think we don't have that responsibility. And if we are not doing that, we should be ashamed. Because in the Old Testament, oh, they weren't perfect. Look at Nineveh, a wicked city. And God sent one man in there that did not want to go to start with. He refused to go. He run and decided he'd take a little vacation in a fish's belly. He thought that was the place to be. I guess that was his beach home. But when he went, when he realized, when he believed, and he went, God done some mighty miracles. The whole city repented. See, that's what happens when we move, when we're moving in faith. When we're believing, in the Old Testament, God showed himself. I believe he'll show himself today. I don't believe it's any different. I believe he'll show himself to us. He'll show himself to the world. One day, listen, it looks like things are going bad for him, don't it? It really does. But let me tell you something. He is still in control. They don't even realize that he's in control. And one day, let me tell you, he's going to step out and every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. At that moment, they will believe, but it will be a useless belief. See, we can believe and it not be real. In the New Testament, we find the story there of a man that is really a good example of how we can be wrong. His name was Simon. He was a sorcerer. And the Bible says he wanted to have that power that came from God, that he saw working in the apostles' life, and tried to buy it. Well, he comes and he says, and he believes. Followed in baptism, he got walking along with everybody, looking the same. But there was one thing wrong with him. He was dead to the Lord. Peter turned around and called him and said, listen, you're of the devil. You're a devil is what you are. See, everybody that says they're a believer are not a believer. Matter of fact, Jesus told his disciples this. He said, in that day, many will say, I've done this in your name, I've done that in your name, and they'll be great things. And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. He will not say, I knew you, but you messed up. No, see, yeah, that's why he didn't leave it in our hands, because we'll mess it up. But he said, I knew you, I do not know you, you've done all this stuff, and just like the sorcerer, acting like we believe when we don't really believe. Belief brings action. It makes us do something. Jesus is the only fact that we need to believe in. Who he is, what he's done for us, it is just natural for us to go and follow him. John 3:36 sums it up like this, makes it clear as it can be. There's only two ways a man can choose. Only two. And the first is that we're convinced that Jesus is the Son of God. And the other one is to just completely reject him. When we reject him, listen, we have no hope. If we will hear him and respond to him, we have everything we need. The Bible says in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Didn't say he who gets out there and wins 10,000. Didn't say you had to do this or that. The Bible says that if you believe, you will have everlasting life. And listen to what it says. He that does not believe, the person who does not believe shall not have life, but he will have the wrath of God abiding on him. Listen, it's a dangerous thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Listen, God is angry with sin. God hates sin because it destroys his people. And God hates that. And God wants us to believe. And he has given us that opportunity by faith that we can easily believe the gospel. You know, the Bible tells the story of Jesus after he rose from the dead. He'd come and he met his disciples. And he proved himself that he was who he was. And man, they believed. They believed. And old Thomas had been somewhere. I don't know where he'd been. Maybe he was looking for a job. Maybe he'd put in some resumes or something. I don't know. And they said, you will never believe this. Jesus come and was in our midst. We saw him. We saw it. And Thomas said, oh, I will not believe it unless I can put my hands in his wounds. About 7 days later, it happened. There they were in the room together, and Jesus appears. He had one thing in focus, I think, because he looked at Thomas and said, Thomas, feel. And Thomas felt his hands, his feet, and his side, and he said, my Lord, my God. And Jesus said something. He said, blessed are you because you saw and believed. Blessed are those who do not see and believe. There's something about just believing, because we believe God's word. It's the fact that he is the one who leads us. The fact that he's the one that we should hold to. In 1974, a Frenchman, Philippe, he was a world-renowned high wire walker. He had walked a span between the Trade Center there in New York, walked across those things on a rope, on a wire. He goes over to Oregon, over to Portland. They were about to open their art center. So he erects an 80-foot high wire with no net, only the paved street below. 10,000 people were in the street watching him. And this woman, who he had only met just a couple of weeks or so before this event, they did not know each other. Only she had heard about him. He gets on that wire to walk across. She gets on his back. And he walks across that wire with her on his back. In 2007, they interviewed her. And here's what she said. They said, were you afraid whenever he walked you across that wire? She said, no. I was not afraid because I had all my trust in him. Let me tell you something. That's where we need to be with him. I remember asking an inmate, what do you believe faith is? What do you think faith is? He gave me the best answer I've ever heard. He was serving 3 life sentences for murder. He thought about that thing for a minute. He said, I believe that means I've got all my confidence in him. I said, you're right. That's what faith is. That's what believing is, that we put all of our faith in Christ. And we trust him with complete confidence. Listen, what I want God to do for me is to walk with me, to lead me, to guide me. I want him to give me faith. I want him to give me desire to serve him. Oh, yeah, I want to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But I want to have that relationship with him. That's more than just, oh, I'm waiting on him to carry me to heaven. Because he's got something more for us right now. He don't have heaven for us right now. And I mean that because we're not there yet. He's still got something for us right here. And if we're not doing anything for him, if we're not believing, if we're not serving, if we're not doing sharing the gospel, if we're not doing something to help, man, we live in a crazy time. Who knows how to serve in a time like this? We can't go to prison anymore. Can't go to nursing homes anymore. I can't even visit a hospital unless the person is absolutely dying. I can go in with the family whenever it's that time, the last time for the family. They get sick, I can't go like I normally do, go and pray for them. No, you can't do that. You are limited. But all the things that we can do, the things that we can do, it's bad having to wear a mask. But if I have to wear a mask to go in and serve an elderly that's at home and needs some, I'll do that. If they need me to wash my hands with a sanitizer, I keep one in my pocket all the time. There is things we can do, but we must believe that He is in control and that He will go with us. Amen. He's not going to eliminate us. He's not going to forsake us. There is progress when we believe we can move forward in our life. We can do what we did not think was possible. And there's always that time that we give evidence and we grow more and more and more in our faith. There has to be that time when we look at that evidence of what we have seen God do and follow Him. A man came to Jesus. His son was dying, or his child was dying. And he asked Jesus to go with him and help him. And Jesus told him, "You just go back home. Your child lives. You just go back home." The guy turns around and on his way to the house, the Bible said he believed, and he turned around and he went home, and here comes one of his servants and said, "Your son lives." See, our faith needs to grow. We need to have progress in our faith. We cannot stay where we're at. We have to work towards Him. And the Bible says here in John 4:50, Jesus said to him, "Go your way, thy son lives." And listen to what. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him. I've seen people take the Bible and say, "Well, I just don't believe that mess." The very words that he has spoken, and they say, I don't care what that says. I mean, I've literally had people tell me that. "I don't care what it says. This is what I do." Well, that's not good for you then. But the Bible says this man believed what Jesus had said to him. It takes that work of little faith here, little faith there. And before, when we see God start doing things and we believe the evidence of those things that we've not seen. Listen, we can believe one thing. It happened back in the Old Testament, and it happened. Listen, God done some marvelous things right here in America when they were forming this country. If it wasn't for God's hand, this wouldn't be the United States of America. God done some miraculous things. And we watched Him through the years do the things. And we have experienced those things in our own family. Don't you think that we can believe that He can take care of whatever's coming in the future? You know, I know. It's hard to grasp all of it right now because of all that's going on around us. But my doctor told me that November the 5th, it would all be over with. So. Listen, John 2:11, the Bible says, when Jesus, beginning of miracles, Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifest both His glory, and His disciples believed. That's all it is. It's just a growth. We have to start at some place, and we might not be able to walk on water, or may might not ever be able to walk on water. I'm sure that we won't be. But there's things that we can do better now than we did when we first come to know the Lord. If we're not increasing in our faith, if we're not being more faithful, if we're not being more active in serving Him, I'm telling you, than what we were when we started out, we are in trouble. There's that progress that we have in our faith. And I hope that all of you guys are walking in that. Jesus said to him, Thomas, do you believe? Thomas said, yeah, I believe. Well, he didn't say this, but this is just me. Thomas, you believe because you saw it. Damon Lee's going to believe it. He ain't never seen it. And all of us, by faith, He brings us when we have nothing. Most of the time, our lives are broken. And we realize our lives are broken. And we realize we've got no hope. And He comes along, and He initiates something in our life that begins to build faith. When we follow that and we progress in that, it comes to the place where we are people of strong faith and we're not shaken by what's going on now or whenever. We can trust Him in everything that we do. So let me ask you this in our closing. There's two things that we can have. One is belief. The other is unbelief. Now, belief is a powerful weapon. Belief, when we believe in our heart, the Bible says that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what believing is. It's not that we believe the 10 points of the Baptist doctrine. It don't mean that we believe the five pillars of Calvinism. It means we believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. We believe one thing. Nothing else. And we are given life. Unbelief will bring in a Christian's life misery. Misery. If we're not living our lives that demonstrates our faith, we will be so disappointed in life. Because we have to bear the image of God. That's why He created us. So this morning, believing in God is something that moves us completely. Now this man comes... The jailer, he's heard all this stuff going on and the shaking awakened him from his sleep. And he looks and the jail doors are open. The inmates in there, their shackles have been freed from them. And he thought, oh my gracious, they're all gone and I'm going to lose my head over this thing. So he pulls his sword, going to kill himself. So he wouldn't have to go through what he thought he was going to have to go through. And he goes in and falls when he realizes, when people say, hey, we're all here. And then he goes in, falls at their feet, and brings them out of the prison. He got them out there in the light where he could see, I guess. And he said, what must I do to believe? The word was, you believe. All you have to do is believe. If you will believe, you will be saved and your house. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you and your house will be saved. Now listen, he weren't saying because this man believed that all of his house would be saved. He was saying for him and his house, it was always the same thing. It was faith in Jesus Christ. We all have to believe. So believing in Him is something that we need to examine in our own lives. It's something that we need to check and make sure that we are walking in Him. When we believe, our name is written in a book. And there's not a devil in hell can erase it, because He's did it all for us. Let me read this to you. Jesus speaking. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Jesus said, my sheep, I know them, and my sheep follow me. That's what He said. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Let me tell you something. When we believe, and God does that marvelous work of the new birth, awakens that man or woman, that inner person, and He awakens us. And the Holy Spirit takes up an abode with us and seals us. The Bible says we have been baptized into Christ. We have been immersed in Him. So here we have the Holy Spirit who has sealed us. We're safe in a containment of the Holy Spirit. And not only that, we are baptized, immersed in Christ. And Christ is in the Father. Who in the world can pluck us from anything? Nobody. Nobody. Why? Because we are as secure as we could ever be, because He said, I have not lost a single one you gave me. You just think about this. If He lost one, let's just say, and I'm going to hurry on this one. Let's just say that I done something that inner man died like it did in the Garden of Eden with Adam. Because that's what separated us from God, okay? When that spirit dies within me, if it was to die, I couldn't call on Jesus to save me anymore. You know why? And you couldn't either. You know why? Because if He lost one, that would mean His blood is not sufficient to save. And someone else would have to die for our sins. Let me tell you, there's nobody else going to die for our sins. What He done was sufficient for all times, for every person. And listen, sealed, immersed, and hidden in the Father. Let me tell you, who can separate us from the love of God? Nobody. But listen, when we are believing, yes, we can get out of step with Him. We can make some mistakes. Sometimes we make terrible mistakes. But thank God, He is in us, and the Holy Spirit leads us to repentance, and He renews us. It's like not kiss and make up. It's just confess and benefit. So let me ask you, where are you at in your walk with Him? Are you growing in your faith? Do you believe in God? Do you believe He really exists? We talked about that a few weeks ago. Do you believe that He has revealed Himself and we have a responsibility to respond to Him? That's a big call. That's a really big call. So this morning, let's take a moment and examine our own lives. Let's ask Him to search our hearts and show us what we need to repent of. And ask Him to strengthen us. Maybe you haven't done anything this week that made you miss the mark. I think we probably did, because we always miss the mark. But ask Him, what do you need to do? how can you better serve him? And ask him to strengthen us. He'll strengthen us so that we might grow in our faith in him and have fellowship with him. He helps us believe. Trust him. Trust him. Let's pray.